keep praying for the dads that are still out there doing that, and hoping and praying that they'll get to come home, because our families need us.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Yes, it's just me today. Todd is off in the wilderness somewhere where he cannot be reached. So this could be a short podcast episode today. And I'm still recovering from COVID, so if I start coughing, I'll edit it out, don't worry, but breathing is still slightly a bit of a chore. I thought I'd give you a little update on my situation and my experience with the whole COVID thing. And maybe if I have anything worthwhile to share, I'll try and share it. So, first of all, thank you guys so much for praying for me and my family. Most of us have been dealing with this COVID thing. Somehow, my one boy didn't seem to get it at all. Maybe he's just immune already, I don't know. And the rest of the clan seemed to get through it pretty easily without too much trouble. The newlyweds are doing pretty well. They were kind of the first ones to get it. My youngest is still fighting through it, but she's, again, it doesn't seem to have affected her all that harshly. I definitely got it the worst, and I've tried to avoid the whole controversy about vaccines and all that stuff for the most part on social media and in conversations and certainly on this show, because it just doesn't seem like it's worth it to have the conversation, because most people know what they think and don't want to hear it from me. I will share a couple thoughts today just from my experience. I started feeling bad a couple weeks ago with some joint pain, and then the breathing started getting more labored and started coughing and all that stuff. And I'm not going to get into vaccines, like whether you should or shouldn't have the vaccine in terms of whether it's valid. Do the research yourself. If you like vaccines, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. My main thing all along has just been that freedom is very important to me as an American and as a Christian. I believe that we can make our own decisions, and we don't need to be told by the government or anybody else whether we should get vaccinated or not. During this process, my opinion has only solidified even more that this somewhat new attitude of blaming the patient in medicine has really sticks in my craw. I've heard it for a while, you know, for the last, I don't know, 20 years or so, you've heard people, you know, really with the whole advent of HMOs and all that stuff, it started to become a thing where you started hearing people wanting to blame patients for being overweight or obese or whatever and causing healthcare costs to go up. And not that there's no validity to that, but it seemed to me that there was a time when medicine was about helping the sick person, and that bedside manner was an important thing. Caring and concern really mattered. And here's my big point. I'll just jump right to it in terms of what I would say that was a new impression for me going through this, because I ended up, after multiple doctors and medical professionals told me that if I'm having trouble breathing or if I'm having shortness of breath, that I should just go to the emergency room, I finally went to the urgent care and had a pretty rotten experience there, because they basically didn't really have anything to help me with. They were just following CDC guidelines. And that's what seems to have really changed in the last couple of years. You can keep your doctor has turned into it doesn't matter what doctor you have because they're all the same. They're all following God Fauci and the CDC guidelines. And yes, I realize I might be ruffling some feathers by saying it that way, but that's kind of how I feel about the whole thing right now. So I went to the urgent care and dealt with that. The doctor there, I hope he was having a really bad day because he treated me pretty horribly. He basically asked if I had been immunized, and then when I said no, he just kind of smirked. And he did manage to get an x-ray, though he didn't bother to tell me what it said. We had to chase him down as we were leaving and say, hey, doc, you want to tell us what the x-ray said? But his attitude was basically, well, you should have got the vaccine. I don't know why he didn't trust the science. And that was a real fun time. I had multiple doctors tell me to trust the science. And that, boy, howdy, that sticks in my craw too. Anyway, I'll try not to get on my rant about that. So I did eventually, the day after I went to the urgent care, I ended up going to the emergency room because I was still having shortness of breath. Even though my oxygen levels were still good, they were still in the 90s, I was just breathing like, I mean, it was really not fun. Because it was like that, if you've ever had bronchitis, and it just has that tightness in your chest, and you don't want to breathe deep because you're going to start coughing, and you just know it. It felt like that all the time. So I went to the emergency room, and at this point, from the urgent care appointment, I had gotten scheduled an appointment to get an infusion of monoclonal antibodies, which is, I guess, somewhat of an alternative therapy or whatever. But I was really glad to have that on the books. I was supposed to get it on Friday morning. So this was Thursday, the 12th, I believe. I went to the ER and I had the infusion scheduled for the next morning. So I knew I could at least tell them I had that going on. And this was where it got fun. Because I haven't been in the hospital in a long time. Things have definitely changed in the last couple of years. My wife has always been the medical genius in our family. Her dad was a doctor, and she was always really curious about that stuff. She researches the heck out of it. She gave me a list of a few questions to ask the doctor because she knew she wouldn't be able to go in with me. And this is part of my big point, is that if you remember medicine a certain way, it's not anymore. It's not what it was like 40 years ago or 30 years ago. It's not what it was like 2 years ago, where your family member could just come in with you and be your advocate. And I've been in kind of a fog this whole time. I mean, it's not like when you're having trouble breathing, it's not really that easy to have clear thoughts, which my doctor's office was, they got to experience some of that fogginess as I tried to talk to them about some things. And that's when I started getting that same repeated reply of, if you're having trouble breathing, go to the ER. It really seems like the primary care level of medicine at this point just exists to prescribe new pills for you and to tell you to go to the ER if you're having actual real trouble. They didn't want to bother with me at all, and they didn't even know who to contact when I wanted to set up the infusion procedure. And that was frustrating as could be. But anyway, I get to the ER, and they basically said to my wife, well, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. But don't worry, we'll contact you probably multiple times today. We'll be in touch with you all the time. They never called her once. I sat in that hospital bed for about 7 hours, almost 6 hours before they actually did anything of any value, which was basically to give me the infusion that I was going to get the next morning. And knowing what I know now, looking back on it, I really don't want to be this cynical, but it's hard not to think that they were just looking for an excuse to shove me in the ICU, because they had me sitting there for 6 hours watching my vital signs and my oxygen levels. My oxygen level stayed in the 90s the whole time. And it really appears to me now that they were just waiting for them to fall down into the 80s. And then they could force me to take oxygen, at which point they would not be able to give me the infusion. And then they could check me in as an inpatient and
get more money because I'd be a COVID inpatient then. And then it would just be a short hop, skip, and a jump into the ICU and then onto a ventilator, which we're watching some families we know where the dad is on a ventilator now. One family we know from our co-op, the dad's on a ventilator, has been for a couple of weeks, and they've gotten lawyers involved to try and force the hospital to give him some treatments that they've asked for all along that, by the way, used to be common treatments for pneumonia, but for some reason for COVID, they don't bother with it. They just say, oh, that doesn't work, and stick you on a ventilator. And here's my big point that all this is leading to. I'm sorry if I'm bothering you, and I'm sure there's some of you are way more knowledgeable about this stuff than I am. Again, this is all based on just my experience. But here's my point. If this can help anybody, then I'll feel like this was worth it. Knowing what I know now, I might have gotten the vaccine earlier if there was any chance it would have kept me out of the hospital, because I don't believe they have our interests at heart. I believe that the CDC now runs everything in the hospitals. Now, if your hospital doesn't adhere to all CDC guidelines and that's all they do, sweet. But there was a time when a doctor could practice medicine because he was a doctor and he had the qualifications to do so. And if something worked for him in his little, you know, small Ohio village where he treated his patients, if he found something that worked well for his patients, he might submit that to a journal and tell people in other areas about it, and they might try it. And if it didn't work for them, they might say, huh, I wonder why that's working for this doctor in this little small town in Ohio and not for us in Chicago or wherever. Is there something different about the geography of that area? Is there something different about those patients? Is there something different about the way that he's administering the treatment? Is there some sort of placebo effect? Whatever the reason, hey, good for him. It's working. He should keep doing that. We'll keep looking into it to see if we can find out a way to make it work for us or find something that does work for us. Nowadays, if you're a doctor and you want to try something your own way and it doesn't adhere to God Fauci and the CDC protocols, you're a heretic and you need to be shunned and have your freedom of speech taken away. And you're seeing it all over the place. And so for that reason, I would say if you can do anything to avoid going to the hospital, you might want to consider doing whatever it takes to not have to go there. Now, again, I'm not telling you that all hospitals are bad and all doctors are bad or anything like that. I just got the strong feeling after 6 hours of sitting in a bed with very little help from the medical professionals there. I mean, literally, I had a doctor look at me and say, trust the science, while I was laying in the hospital bed. And that was in response to me asking the question. I was very kind about it. I said, hey, doc, do you mind if I ask a couple of questions? My wife suggested a couple of these things I should ask about. The doctor was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And so I said, well, what about like high-dose steroids and maybe budesonide? There's another thing she suggested that some people have been using for treatment. I didn't even bother mentioning the ivermectin that I'd been taking already because I didn't want to push my point too much. I was trying to be really nice about this. I'm well aware of how touchy these medical professionals can get, especially if they're all on the CDC train. Her response to me was, well, if that stuff worked, we'd all be rich and nobody would be sick. You just need to trust the science. And, you know, if you like that kind of response from your doctor, then more power to you. You ignore everything I'm saying and have a good time. But I don't like that kind of stuff. It seemed to me for the bulk of my time in the hospital, it seemed like their whole COVID treatment plan, the whole CDC COVID protocol, was to tell me that I should have got the vaccine because they really weren't offering anything else. Thank God I already had the infusion scheduled. And they said, well, we can do that here. They had me already strapped up, ready to take oxygen, though. They put the oxygen thing with the little tubes up my nose, ready to go. And the nurse actually had the presence of mind to say, hey, his numbers are still in the 90s. And if we have to give him oxygen, then he can't get the infusion. So why don't we wait and see if his numbers stay okay? Now, I'm not sure about the next part. I'm interpreting this, but it sure felt like they left me sitting there for 5 or 6 hours just waiting for my numbers to go down and then stick me on the oxygen. I finally asked if I could just take the oxygen mask thing, the tubes off, because they weren't giving me any oxygen and my numbers were fine. I still have shortness of breath, but anyway, this is a lot longer than I meant to talk about this, but that was my hospital experience. They did finally give me the infusion, and then they observed me for an hour and sent me home. I felt terrible that night, and while I was sleeping, my wife tried to take my oxygen level. We had a little pulse oximeter to put on my finger, you know, and I woke up one time when she was trying to take my oxygen levels, and I almost hit her. I was not going back to the ER at that point. And anyway, by the next morning, I was starting to feel considerably better, and I've continued to take a regimen of essential oils and vitamins and other things to facilitate my recovery. And I'm doing much better now. Thank God. And thank you all so much for praying. It was so nice to hear from Al and Steve and Kent, and I know I'm forgetting a bunch of people, Nathan and a lot of the other guys who have listened for a long time. Thank you so much for contacting me. And I know the guys who didn't directly contact me that were praying too. I'm one of those guys who doesn't usually hit reply on the email to the whole group of people asking you to pray, but I do pray for those things. So if you're one of those guys, thank you. I really appreciate it. My family appreciates it more than you can know. You guys are the best. It's nice to be feeling better. I'm trying to think if there was anything else I wanted to say about that whole experience. It was not fun. And like I said, if there's anything you can do to stay out of the hospital, that might just be the safest thing for you. But again, I'm no doctor. I'm not trying to supersede your doctor's advice. I just have a hard time trusting the CDC and some of the powers that be now as they've politicized medicine. The real point, I guess, in terms of this show and what Todd is always talking about is that we need to do what's best for our families. And anything that can help us to get healthier if we need to is really important. That was another thing that I'm trying to use this as a turning point for myself and my health. I did have a fun little moment when I was trying to take a bunch of vitamins and stuff that my wife was telling me to take before I had gone to the urgent care or anything. I was drinking RC Cola because I like drinking Pepsi and Coke and RC. Basically any kind of cola I can get my hands on, I drink way too much of it. And I've known for a long time that I need to kick that habit, and I've wondered how much weight I might lose if I just kicked that alone. Well, I had the misfortune of barfing it all up after trying to take some vitamins that didn't agree with me, or maybe it was the RC, I'm not sure. But that gave me a rather strong distaste for it, for the cola as well as the vitamins. And about 2.5 days later, I realized that part of the reason I felt so terrible might be that I was going through caffeine withdrawal, but I felt so lousy anyway from the illness that I figured, well, who cares if I'm going through withdrawal? I might as well go through the withdrawal point and then kick this stupid habit that I've needed to kick for a long time. And so it's now been over 10 days, 12 days, I think, since I had any cola. And I don't know if it's from a couple episodes of vomiting that I had in this whole process or the difficulty eating much of anything because I just didn't feel like eating a whole lot, or if it's because I have erased cola from my diet, but I'm down like 12 pounds already. So I imagine some of that's probably just the sickness that'll, you know, some of that weight might come back, but who knows? In any case, I'm sure the elimination of cola can't be anything but a good thing for me. So, and I'd really like to try and make some strides in my health. Because when you're sitting in the hospital bed, I mean, I wasn't terribly worried because I know we have a big God and I knew there were lots of people praying. But I did have the thought that I wonder if that was the last time I had left my house. Because I'd, you know, we've had several families that we've known where the dad has gone to the hospital and ended up in the ICU on a ventilator and then didn't come home. So I keep praying for the dads that are still out there doing that and hoping and praying that they'll get to come home because our families need us. Before I get too depressing, I think I'll sign off here. Thank you guys again for praying. Thank you for your concerns and your contact and your blessings. You mean more to me than you will ever know. And I promise next week I'll talk about something more fun. I did actually release my new music album on August 6th. I've been meaning to talk about that at some point. If you're dying to get it, it's available on Amazon, iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, under the brand Rad Scott. And it's called The End Is Near, and then in parentheses, and Other Apocalyptic Surf Music. It's mostly instrumental. There's a couple of vocal tunes on there. The End Is Near has a newly, a slightly different version than you might have heard before, but basically just the intro is a little different. And I remixed it a little, but I've been hoping to finish the website on that and then promote it more, but COVID kind of got in the way, so I'm still working on all that stuff. But thank you so much for all your blessings and all your prayers and all your support. God bless every one of you. And take care of your health, take care of your family. And you know why? Because you to Dad. And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.